Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. There's a lot going on right now. The selection show is about to begin, and Ole Miss baseball coming down to the wire. So I have a feeling that those two things happening at the same time is going to lead to some excitement and maybe a little bit of stress as well. I'm Michael Borky. Welcome in, guys. Appreciate you being here. I know we're a little bit early today. Probably should have gone live at the usual time, considering what is going on with baseball right now. However, the selection show is about to begin. We are, just seconds away from them starting over on CBS. I've got it up, but I do not have any sound, obviously. So that's going to be something that that you guys, if something is said that you guys can hear, since you're able to double up audio-wise, help me out with. But I'm glad you're here, and let's react to this together. I'm Michael Borky. Again, appreciate you. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We have a podcast feed wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition and every edition of the show is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory has got you covered for anything personal injury. If you've been personally injured and you don't need to waste another second, wake up tomorrow, call DJ Gregory at 662-397-9799. He's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere in Mississippi. 662-397-9799. Also, small business. If you're a small business owner, you need some legal advice, or if you want to start a small business, or you don't really know where to go, check out DJ Gregory again at 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. DJ Gregory and the Gregory Law Firm. So they're doing a tribute right now. This will not feel the same without Greg Gumbel, but they are getting underway now. They just did a tribute. All the staff, apparently he was a big Rolling Stones fan, and all the staff, anyway, not the guys on set, they're in suits, but all the staff are wearing Rolling Stones gear, which I thought was pretty cool. So Adam Zucker just brought them in. I hope they just start revealing the bracket. In years past, they have done like one group at a time and then talked about it, and this thing would take hours. So hopefully they just give us the bracket so we can get who Ole Miss is playing and then go from there. But yeah, you start us off with Lenardi was projecting to play in the Ole Miss to play in the 6-11 matchup versus UC San Diego, which would be a really tough game. They're all going to be tough games. There's really no, especially when you're on this seed line. I mean, Ole Miss will very likely, regardless of who does, be playing a conference champion. So a team that's won a bunch of games. And, you know, you don't really get to this point without being a team that will be tough, right? There's very few easy wins. The one seeds will get those, of course. The twos will get some as well. But, I mean, if you're anything from a 4 to an 11 or 12 or whatever, you're going to play a good team. I mean, every single one of these teams, Liberty is undersized, but man, they've got guys that can shoot. You have UC San Diego, who you just mentioned. You look at Drake, and I think they're the number one, quote unquote, scoring defense in college basketball. There is just every single one of these teams is going to be good, but don't forget what Ole Miss is going into this game. Well, we watched Ole Miss last week beat Tennessee and lock them down. And then, yes, I know they lost the game, but Ole Miss played defense that shut Auburn down for 40 minutes the other day, paired with a couple of clutch wins mixed in between. Any of these teams is going to look at Ole Miss and think, damn, I got to play Ole Miss. So it goes both ways. The bracket getting revealed right now, Auburn, the number one overall seed. They'll play the winner of Alabama State and St. Francis. I am a big proponent of, if you're a conference champion, you should not have to play in the play-in game. I don't like that they've done that. I think that you should just be in, but oh well. That's who Auburn will play in the South region. Louisville, so that's a good win for Ole Miss. They went 27-7 this year, is the 8th seed in that region, one of the few good teams out of the ACC. And for those of you listening in podcast form, sorry, I might have to cut some of this out. Creighton, the 9, opposite Louisville. So this is the South region. Those games will be in Lexington, by the way. So it's kind of weird, right? Auburn's going to be the 1 seed in Lexington, and their fans are going to travel well. But Louisville will have a home state game as an 8 seed, possibly 2 of them anyway. So Michigan just having won the Big Ten championship, also now in the bracket. They're the 5 seed in that one. This is fun, by the way. I love this. I love the fact that we get to talk about this in relation to Ole Miss. Last year, I mean, for the last few years, we haven't been able to do this. UC San Diego is the 12 playing Michigan. So there you go. UC San Diego, the 12 playing Michigan, the 5. So Ole Miss avoids who you said here on the initial message would be a tough game for Ole Miss. Part of me thinks that Liberty would be a really good matchup for them. I know they shoot the 3 like crazy, but they're really undersized. So I was looking at them and Drake and others earlier, VCU, just to kind of get like an early look before we react to this together. Texas A&M, the 4 in that bracket, opposite Yale, the 13. So look out, Aggies. They did it once. They can do it again. So that is your South region, or at least the top half of your South region. And those are Thursday games, by the way. Friday, Ole Miss, the 6 seed. All right, so we get Ole Miss early. Ole Miss, the 6 seed, they will play on Friday. And they're going to face the winner, wow, of San Diego State and North Carolina got into the tournament. Wow. Interesting draw for Ole Miss there. So we get to get this thing started early. I am not a single bracket that I looked at throughout this thing had Ole Miss facing off against the winner of the play-in game. That is fascinating. So Ole Miss gets the winner of San Diego State and North Carolina. I am surprised that North Carolina got in. North Carolina's record against the Quad 1 is awful. They have been awful against bad teams. I mean, it makes you almost wonder if they've got in just as simple as, brand. Otherwise, they don't have a resume that belongs in this tournament at all, quite frankly. Their resume just does not belong. Let's look at them both. So Ole Miss will play the winner of San Diego State. I didn't even look at either one of these because I did not expect Ole Miss to play them. So what do you guys think about the draw? Let me know in the comments. San Diego State basketball stats. Here we go. I was not expecting either one of these. This is a surprise. So here we go. San Diego State. Let's look at schedule first. So they went 21-9 this year. Let's see if in the non-conference they played any decent teams. So here we go. They lost to Gonzaga. They did beat Creighton. I mean, this is a long, long, long time ago. They beat Creighton. They lost to Oregon. They beat Houston in overtime. So they had some good non-conference wins. They won at Boise State. Let's see. They beat Colorado State, who is a bid stealer there in the field. And what have they done lately? So they lost on Thursday in the Mountain West tournament to Boise State. They have a recent loss to UNLV as well. They also have a loss to Colorado State mixed in there, too. I said they beat them. They lost to them. So they've beaten Boise State twice and then lost to them the third time in the conference tournament. Let's look at some stats here. This is surprising. All right, they're led by guard Nick Boyd, 13 points per game. Oh, I might as well pull up KenPom as well. Find them on KenPom. Let's see. I was better prepared for others. Let's put it that way. All right, San Diego State, they're 46th in KenPom, for what that's worth to you. UNC is hot right now, might be a bad matchup. We'll get to that here in just a second. They just haven't played anybody. The ACC was so bad. Let's see. Okay, again, Nick Boyd, 13 points per game. 36% from three, only four rebounds, but four assists and two turnovers a game. Does average a steal as well. 6'3", 175-pound guard, so he's tall but a little skinny. So, again, 13 points per game. Miles Byrd just under 13 points per game. He's a 6'7 sophomore at 190. Makes 31% of his threes, only 38% of his field goals. Does rebound it okay at five rebounds per game, but averages a block and a steal as well. So a pretty long guy, but not exactly an efficient scorer. They only right now have two guys that average in double figures, but it looks like they play a lot of guys. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys that have played in at least 20 games for this team. Let's see. BJ Davis, again, third leading scorer, only 9 points per game, 6'2 guard, only 37% from three, so good three-point shooter. Doesn't appear to have a whole lot of size at the moment. They do have a seven-footer, a freshman, Magoon Gwaith. Oh, man, he's from Ulysses, Texas, apparently, but only played 2 minutes. He hadn't played since February. So I don't know if there's an injury or what with him. I know this isn't exactly like the best analysis you've ever heard, but it's the team that I did not expect them to play showing up here. So I guess no Magoon Gwaith for them. Jared Coleman-Jones, their fifth leading scorer, 6'10 senior, 6'10, 235, so a big guy. But only, I mean, averages 7 points and five rebounds per game. Does make 44% of his shots. Oh, I mean, in his last three games, 4 points, 5 points, 7 points. So, although nine rebounds in their loss to Boise State, so he's a pretty decent rebounder, it seems, but does not present a whole lot for them offensively. And then now I'm already down to their sixth leading scorer at only 6 points per game, and he's a six-foot senior. So, I mean, I could be wrong. Yeah, it doesn't appear that there's a whole lot of size on this team, and offensively not particularly impressive, or at least from the looks of it. A 33% three-point shooting team. See, average 70 points per game. That's San Diego State. North Carolina, the other one in this bracket. I am 33rd in KenPom. 22 and 13. Let's look at the net that I was talking about with you guys earlier in North Carolina. They are a surprise to get into this tournament, no doubt. No doubt. And you'll get a really good look at both of these teams, obviously, when they play in that first four. So that's insane that North Carolina got in. But what do you guys think? You and they would have to play Iowa State in the second round. I like that matchup. Another one I worry about, the hot-cold shooting, either or sandbagging against Auburn, or it seemed like they should have beat them in that game. So they definitely weren't sandbagging. That is something that, despite the way that they have played, and you should feel really good about the way that Ole Miss played against Auburn, Tennessee. I mean, in the month of March, you should feel really good about this team and the way they've played, specifically defensively, going into this tournament. I think that they got that identity back. You saw it against Auburn, a really, really, really good team. We're learning about Mississippi State's draw right now. I've stopped updating you because I've been looking at Ole Miss's draw, but Mississippi State, the 8, opposite Duke, and they'll play Baylor, the 9, so an interesting draw for the Bulldogs, but not good drawing Duke in the second round. A lot of talk going into this season was that State needs to be a second weekend team, and that's tough. Okay, so let me find North Carolina, and we can look at their the net that we were talking about and how bad their record is against the better teams that they've played. It's taking me a while to get here, though, because there's a lot of teams that play college basketball. I don't know if you guys knew that. Okay, North Carolina, they were 22-13. They were 1-12 against quad one. Now, only one loss outside of quad one. It's a quad three loss, but they were 1-12. 1-12 against the quad, against quad one. And we'll look at their recent results and tell you. I know they took Duke down to the wire. I mean, they did it a couple of times lately. But how much of that was maybe rivalry passion or the fact that Duke's best player wasn't available for their last game? You are right, though. They've won a lot of games lately. So after their February 10th loss to Clemson, where they got beat by 20 at Clemson on February 10th, they are 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, 6-1, 7-1, 8-1, 8-2 since then. So they've won 8 of their last 10, and those two losses are exclusively to Duke. Both of those losses are to Duke. They have wins at Syracuse, but, you know, they beat NC State, who fired their coach. I mean, the ACC was so bad. I mean, these are wins Virginia at Florida State, you know, 5 years ago. You'd have thought this is a great resume. One at Florida State, beat Miami, whose coach quit. One at Virginia Tech, beat Notre Dame and Wake Forest. So the brands that they've been able to beat in this are, you know, they're good, but the teams themselves, not particularly. So looking at leading scorers and stuff like that, RJ Davis, really good player. The guard averages 17 points per game, also 4 assists. Makes 35% of his threes. Ian Jackson, the guard, also makes 40% of his threes. So those are their two leading scorers, 17 points and 12 points respectively. RJ Davis, though, a little guy, 6 foot, 180 pounds, but he is a senior, played a lot of basketball. Ian Jackson is a 6'4 freshman. He, let's see, again, makes 40% of his threes. So a threat from the outside for sure. But I think that, you know, I saw a lot of this talk going into the brackets and things like that. And like I said before, Ole Miss is a team that locked down defensively Tennessee and Auburn recently. And if they're able to do that with Tennessee and Auburn, I most certainly believe and think that they have the athletes that are able to shut down either North Carolina or San Diego State. But let's continue. Third leading scorer, Seth Trimble, at 12 points per game. He's a 6'3 junior. Makes 28% of his three, so not a particularly efficient scorer of the basketball. Does rebound it pretty good for his size, does Seth Trimble. Fourth leading scorer, another guard, 6'1", 180-pound guard. That's Elliot Cadeau. I guess I'm saying his name correctly. First big man that comes up only averages 5.6 rebounds per game. Van Allen Lubin, he's a 6'8 junior and does make a lot of his field goals, though 72% from the field for his career, or excuse me, his last game, but 68% from the field. Does not take outside shots at all. And only, again, 5.5 rebounds per game is all that he averages. Now I'm down to their sixth leading scorer, only at 7.5 points per game. That's Drake Powell, the 6'6 freshman. So this appears to be a team that is not going to present a ton of challenges physically to Ole Miss, but I also could be wrong, simply just wrong about that. And we'll just have to see. This is really exciting, though. It's really exciting that we get to sit back, and we'll go through the rest of the brackets here in just a second. But what do you guys think about the draw? I would love to know. Are you excited about this? Were you hoping to see somebody else? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? Does the brand of North Carolina scare you? Milwaukee, by the way, I forgot to tell you, is where they go. You guys, if you're listening to this, most of you listen to these after the fact anyway, but Milwaukee is I have a couple of friends that used to live there, and it's a cool place to visit. Like, if you feel like making the trip, you'll have a good time. I don't know. I like this draw for Ole Miss. Let's look at the rest of the bracket, by the way. Why not? Let's look at the rest of the bracket. Let's see if CBS will allow me to look at what they've revealed so far or not. No, they're not. They're not letting me see the rest of the bracket until they fill the entire thing. Unbelievable. Come on, CBS. You're the ones revealing it. Shouldn't you have a tracker or something? Live bracket. Here we go. Finally. Okay, so we talked about it before. In the South region, Ole Miss, the sixth. They'll face the winner of San Diego State and UNC. If they win that game, it's the winner of Iowa State and Lipscomb. On the bottom of that bracket, it's Marquette, the 7, and New Mexico, the 10. The very bottom, Michigan State and Bryant. And then we looked at the top already as it was getting unveiled. Auburn is the 1 seed. They'll play the winner of Alabama State. And is that SFU? Your guess is as good as mine at the moment. I should know that answer, but I've been talking to you guys. Louisville and Creighton, the 8-9, will face the winner of the Auburn game, which they'll face Auburn. Michigan, the 5, and UC San Diego, the 12, Texas A&M, the 4, and Yale, the 13. So that's the South bracket. That's the South region, and that will happen on Friday. The East, Duke and American, or MTSM. Is that Mount St. Mary's? Mississippi State, the 8, Baylor, the 9, Oregon, the 5, Liberty, the 12 there, Arizona, the 4, Akron, the 13, BYU, the 6, VCU, which is somebody that a lot of people thought Ole Miss would face in the first round, and obviously not because they are facing BYU. Wisconsin, the 3, Montana, the 14, go Grizz in that one. St. Mary's, the 7, Vanderbilt gets in as a 10. They were solidly in, but Vanderbilt in as the 10. And Alabama, the 2. So Alabama did not get a 1 seed. They're the 2 at the bottom of Duke's bracket, and they will have Robert Morris. And so far, that is all that we've got in the bracket. So really, really good stuff there. It appears, by the way, Ole Miss, looking over at baseball, they gave up four runs in the top of the ninth to Arkansas, and there's a strikeout to lose it. So Ole Miss loses the series, 12-9 the final. In the ninth, that's a tough series loss. The bats came for Ole Miss all weekend, really. Although yesterday they struck out, 18 times. But officially concerned, brand new concern about the bullpen for Ole Miss. That's that is the biggest takeaway from the weekend. Is I think starters, they're okay. I think they're going to hit it most days, and unfortunately, there is not enough strength in that bullpen for them to be a team that hosts. As of this moment, they need to pitch it a lot better, and I just don't know if they have the personnel that's going to do it. They're going to have to win a lot of games with their bats. All right, here's more bracket revelation. Houston is the 1 seed. What region are they doing now? Midwest. So they're doing the Midwest region now. Houston, the 1 seed. In the Midwest, that this is a Thursday bracket for what it's worth, and they'll play the 16 SIU Edwardsville. What a cool story they are! A first time participant in the NCAA tournament, so that's really cool for them. So Houston and SIU Edwardsville. Hey, congrats, guys! You made history. Here's Houston in the first round. Gonzaga, the 8, that is somebody that I thought Mississippi State was going to have to face in the first round. I thought State was going to be a 9, but they were obviously not. They're going to be an 8 facing Baylor. But Gonzaga, the 8, across from – I mean, we're 23 minutes into this thing. We've got half the bracket done. This is ridiculous. Georgia, the 9. So Georgia, Gonzaga, and the winner will face – Houston. And again, if you guys are just joining us, I'm seeing new people pop here into the stream. What do you think about Ole Miss's draw? They'll face the winner of North Carolina and San Diego State. North Carolina is a team that a lot of people think did not belong despite their good finish, but their record against Quad 1 is a bit ridiculous. Clemson, the 5, and they draw Will Wade and McNeese, the 12. Ooh, that's an interesting. Anything involving Will Wade is really interesting. So, Purdue the 4 in that bracket. So again, this is Houston's bracket. Georgia's in as a 9, and Purdue will face High Point, the 13. So good on High Point. You guys remember Stedman Short? I think he played at High Point before he transferred to Ole Miss. He played high school basketball at my high school's biggest rival. And so that was kind of cool showing up to Ole Miss and him being there. But I think he ended up transferring to High Point. So Illinois, the 6. Texas gets in. Oh, Texas barely got in. Wow. They're the 11 seed, and they'll have a play-in against Xavier, and the winner will face Illinois. So how about that? Texas gets in, and they'll face Xavier, and then the winner will face Illinois. And then North Carolina gets in just barely, and they'll face San Diego State, and the winner will face Ole Miss. I would love to know if Chris Beard thinks that there's an advantage to playing like on Tuesday before their game, or if they would rather the full week off. Kentucky, the 3 in the Midwest region. So they'll play, if they win anyway, they'll play the winner of that Illinois-Texas-Xavier combination. The 14 across from Kentucky is Troy, the Sun Belt champion. Troy. UCLA, the 7 now in that bracket out of the Big Ten, because college sports is insane these days. It just, none of it makes any sense anymore. And Utah State will be their 10. And that game will also be in Lexington, Kentucky, which I guess Lexington would have been the closest site to us if you guys were driving. Tennessee gets a 2. So Tennessee, not a 1. Wes Rucker is going to lose his mind. Tennessee, a 2 seed in the Midwest region. And they'll play Wofford, the Terriers from the Southern Conference. As you guys know, I grew up a big Furman fan. And as a result, I hate Wofford. But I'm going to be rooting for them in this one. So you say too much time off, you could lose your rhythm. I'm curious about that. I wonder if they would almost look at having to – I don't know. That's an interesting question. I mean, you never want to have to play an extra game in a tournament, right? I mean, that's there's a reason that they have these play-in games. It's because these are the teams that didn't deserve to get that. But I do wonder if having a full week off would be the less preferred possibility. I don't know. I'm just talking out loud here. So that's the Midwest region, and CBS did it on TV, but has not updated it on their website, but that's okay. I just read them to you. You guys, thoughts on this weekend in baseball too, by the way. I'm I'm curious. What are your thoughts there? Starting lineup from North Carolina, by the way. 6'8", 6'9", 6'6", 6'1", 6'. San Diego State, 2'6", 10", 6'2", 6'7", 6'3". But again, you know, it's interesting. There's nothing athletically that North Carolina or San Diego State can present to Ole Miss that they haven't seen better of and beaten better of this year. That's what I keep going back to. I've been talking to a lot of people today just about this tournament and the teams and stuff like that. And what was it? I guess VCU was projected by some to be a draw for Ole Miss. And I know they have a player that can fill it up. And initially I thought, just by looking at him, like, oh, this is a great matchup for Ole Miss. Turns out they're better than what I initially thought for the actual ball knowers out there. But, yeah, they've got this guy that can score a ton. So does Tennessee. So does Auburn. So does Alabama. So does Kentucky. Ole Miss beat those, beat 3 of those 4 and played Auburn down to the wire. Ask Bruce Pearl what he thinks about the way Ole Miss defended his team. So I think that either one of these teams, despite San Diego State having some size apparently, is will not be able to present challenges to Ole Miss that they're not used to seeing. There's a reason that everybody has labeled this version of the SEC as the best it's ever been, because it is. The athletes that everybody in the SEC had to face at a nightly basis, professional talker cannot talk, are the best in the country. So I don't think that there is anything that even like an Iowa State can present to Ole Miss that they have not at least seen. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win their first round game and beat Iowa State and move on and like everything's going to be great. But I do think that the fear that I've heard from some people about some of these lineups shouldn't exist there. You just watch your team lock down two of the best teams in all of college basketball, and you're afraid of what North Carolina presents to you? Nah. They won't be anyway. They most definitely won't be. So I'm hoping, by the way, that for the radio show especially, we'll be able to link up with beat writers for all of these teams, for North Carolina and San Diego State. Hopefully the quick turnaround doesn't prevent that from happening. And Iowa State as well. I forgot who the other team in that bracket was. Let me see. Lipscomb, because why not? You know, it's the tournament. And just seeing what these teams are all about for people that have had a chance to watch them closely, like all of you guys have been able to watch Ole Miss closely. So finally back from commercial break, and maybe we'll get the final bracket together, and then we can let you guys get out of here. I do want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. Real quick, Florida gets a one seed, so they'll be the one seed in the West region. But it's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Bank with me. That's where I do it, at Priority One Bank. So they're doing the West region now. Florida will face Norfolk State in the first round. That'll be in Raleigh, and those are Friday games as well. The eight seed is UConn. That's another team that I was afraid that Mississippi State was going to have to face in this game. Oklahoma gets in comfortably in as a nine, so no play-in game for Oklahoma, obviously. They will be the nine seed opposite UConn. Now, I really like the way Oklahoma played down the stretch this year. I think that they could be competitive in that one for sure. Memphis gets a five seed, winners of the AAC. They beat Andy Kennedy's UAB Blazers today. So Memphis gets a five seed, and they'll play Colorado State. Colorado State gets in. They won their conference, but man, they were playing really good basketball down the stretch too. At the time, you didn't think that was going to be like a big win for Ole Miss, but it certainly was one that in the committee room should have helped them to some degree. Maryland, the four in the West region, just got revealed, and showing them clap and whatever team room that they're in right now. That was a matchup that some people were afraid of. Apparently, they've got a super skilled big, does Maryland. They'll play Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon, the 13 across from Maryland, the 4 there in the Midwest, or excuse me, the West region. So this is the last one that they're revealing. The 6-11 matchup, Missouri is a 6. Missouri kind of, I don't want to say fell off at the end of the season, but there was a time where I thought that Missouri was the most underrated team in the sport. They end up being a 6 seed opposite Drake. That was somebody that I was looking into earlier today. I thought Drake would have been a really good matchup for Ole Miss as well. Frankly, kind of hoping, or I was at the time hoping for Liberty, just because of their size. I know they shoot well, but Ole Miss will defend the perimeter well, and their size would have been Ole Miss's best matchup, I think. Texas Tech, the 3 in the West region. So Missouri, if they can get past Drake, will play the winner of Texas Tech and UNC Wilmington. That's a really good athletic department there at UNC Wilmington. Their baseball team's actually quite good right now as well as UNC Wilmington. They gave Southern Miss fits just last weekend. Apparently they can pitch it well. Kansas gets a 7. So in a down year, in a really down year, Kansas is a comfortable 7 seed playing Arkansas. Arkansas the 10 across from Kansas. Wow, that'll be a fun game on Thursday, I think. Arkansas playing a little bit better down the stretch, as you guys saw, as Sean Padula tore their hearts out. The 2 seed in the West region is St. John's. Find themselves all the way up into a 2 seed. Rick Pitino has got, I mean, that is such a fun program right now, is St. John's. It does crack me up, by the way, the image of him at his opening presser. They'll play Omaha the 15, by the way, sitting next to a Catholic priest, knowing what we know about Rick Pitino in his coaching career. Oh, man, that one cracks me up. Apparently Iowa State going to be without Keyshawn Gilbert. Is going to be out. So there it is. That's your entire bracket, isn't it? I think I can refresh this page and maybe CBS will give me a completed bracket this time and we can talk about it. But let's reset a little bit here. I know that I've just been kind of yapping in part. That's what I do anyway, but I have been just kind of yapping here for the first 36 minutes of this. And for those of you listening in podcast form, Hey Dad and I will have much more concrete thoughts this week on the radio show. And then we'll talk about it on Tuesday and get you ready for the game as well right here on this feed. But let's just kind of start over. So right here at 37 minutes, we know Ole Miss's draw now in the NCAA tournament. Ole Miss got a 6 seed. Some bracketologists thought that they would be a 7. Ole Miss got a 6 seed. Some bracketologists thought that they would be a 5, but Ole Miss ultimately gets a 6 seed. They'll face the winner of San Diego State and North Carolina, and if they can get past that game, they will face the winner of Iowa State and Lipscomb. And then down the road, looking at the winner of the group of Michigan State and Bryant and Marquette and New Mexico. And, you know, now that they've been selected and now that it's here, SEC gets 14 teams in the NCAA tournament, 14 of their 16 teams. That is a record by a rather significant number. The Big Ten got 8 for what it's worth, Big 12, 7. The ACC gets 4 teams in the NCAA tournament. And one of them, North Carolina, who Ole Miss very well could face in this thing, is one that a lot of people think didn't belong. West Virginia, Indiana, Ohio State, and Boise State all got left out of this thing. So Xavier gets in, Texas gets in, and it looks like they didn't hold true exactly to the net, because San Diego State's net is worse than both Ohio State and Boise State's, and one behind West Virginia's for good measure. But yeah, Texas just barely snuck in. The SEC gets 14. And that's kind of what I want to talk about now, 38 minutes into the podcast, is the fact that we are talking about this Ole Miss team having been comfortably in the tournament with, if you include the SEC tournament, 11 conference wins. So they won 11 SEC games in a year in which the league broke the record for most bids in the NCAA tournament, clearing a few. They did it with what was their best player going into the season, playing on a knee injury where he's just kind of being held together with duct tape and cortisone shots. And it's year two in a program that was on life support at absolute best. And so the fact that they're in this position right now is awesome. And it just shows you how good Chris Beard really is. And it's also a credit to the staff and the players, of course, as well. But the fact that Ole Miss is in this position right now, considering all of the aforementioned, is an outstanding coaching job. It really is. And it's been a fun team to watch for the most part. Now, they haven't been perfect. They've had some stretches, right, of bad play. but it seems like a team of generally really likable guys on top of it all. You know, the Brakefield story, and I mean, Matt Morrell deserves this selection and a run into the tournament the way that they have. And frankly, I mean, you guys know me. I'm always fan first. I think you guys deserve this. Fans, you Ole Miss, especially you basketball fans, the ones that, you know, watch every basketball game and buy your season tickets and go to as many as you can. And those of you that sat in the student section every night, for a lot of teams that were not in this position, for this to be only the 10th time the program has ever made the tournament, you guys that have been committed to this thing for as long as you have, you guys deserve that. You, the fans that paid for this roster, you guys deserve this. And, you know, I'm happy for you as well on top of it all. Again, the players seem to be pretty likable, but I'm happy for you guys because I think you deserve it. So I'm excited to see, you know, firsthand what it's like watching Chris Beard prepare and have a team ready for the NCAA tournament. Like I said before, but again, we kind of reset here. I really think that you should be really encouraged by the way the team is defending going into this, by the way that they've played in March. I mean, think about their March, right? They win a clutch game with Padula being the hero in Oklahoma. They turn around and played exceptional defense against Tennessee, who's a 2 seed, by the way, went to the SEC championship today, and Brakefield was the hero, was dominant down the stretch, and you have this amazing moment where you beat Tennessee and you locked them down defensively, and Brakefield has that, like, you know, use the tournament, you know, stealing, gimmick stealing. You have that one shining moment with Jamin Brakefield, which is awesome, and you beat Tennessee. And then you go to Florida and lose, but I think Ole Miss played okay that day. They just didn't make shots. But Florida's the best team in college basketball, clearly. So that was kind of a schedule loss anyway. But still, like, your losses are Florida. And then after Florida, you hit the game winner in a weird game, and things weren't going really their way, and they weren't making shots. But you have another clutch performance and Padula being the hero again in a win over Arkansas, who made the tournament. And then you play Auburn down to the wire on a day in which you made 17% of your threes. So the way they're defending, the way they're playing right now is something that you should be very encouraged with, and that travels, right? We've known that's been in there with this team all season, despite the lulls that they've gone through. But the way they had them playing, like energy, like even game plan, stuff like that, they were prepared and locked in defensively for these games. The only thing that you're worried about is that they had a handful of bad shooting days, especially two from the outside in the SEC tournament. And you've got to get more out of Padula. Murray's got to knock down open shots. So, you know, there's despite Padula being the hero in those two games, you've got to get these guys, Matt Morrell as well, despite his knee injury. You've got to get these guys knocking down open looks again. If they are able to do that, you don't even have to get them to play above their heads. Like, if they can just get back to making 35% of their threes, then or somewhere in the 30s, just get into the 30s, and they beat Auburn the other day. So I like the way they're playing right now. I think that the way they play defense travels. I think that despite San Diego State's size, I love what Ole Miss, like the gauntlet that they've been through, that there is, I mean, there's really nothing that either one of these teams can throw at them that can intimidate them. They just got to make open looks. And if they do that, they very well could be, with this draw, a second weekend team. Now, don't get me wrong. Iowa State's tough. That'll be really tough. But the fact that we're having this discussion at all shows you how good you should feel about your team going into this tournament. So, thanks for going live. Of course, man. I've been looking forward to this all day. I've been talking about it all year. This is a really exciting thing to cover for those of you that get the – if you can go, by the way. If you're on the fence, if you're like, I don't know if we should, it's kind of far. If you can swing it financially, go. I've had the pleasure of going to a few NCAA tournament first-round sites. They used to come to my hometown, I think, 3 times when I was growing up. the environments are unlike anything else in sports because it's like this, it's this melting pot of fan bases, right? It's not just, it's not like a bowl game where it's half and half. It's, it's a very fun, unique environment that you've got to see for yourself to understand, like the electricity and the energy around it. If you can go, you need to go. On top of the fact that it's just your team and you should go support your team, if, again, if you can, but it's something as a fan, if you have not experienced, and unfortunately Ole Miss has not given you historically the opportunities to experience it, you need to go. You need to find a way to go. It is the only thing that would be better would be winning the national championship in baseball. Cause you know, that happened. Just like the feeling as a fan, I think going to the Sweet, we don't need to debate that today, but, or like a football playoff game, I guess. But especially if they can get a win, it'll be a Mount Rushmore of days for you as an Ole Miss fan, I think, if you can go and support that. It's so much fun. It's very different in a good way. No, we shouldn't get far ahead of ourselves, but a Sweet 16 in Atlanta would be something else. Over under 12,000 fans traveling to Atlanta. Is that, you know, I didn't even look that far ahead. I did not even look that far ahead. Let me refresh this thing. Okay, the CBS bracket's not giving me any of the site names, which is frustrating. I guess they'll lay all that out tomorrow with the times and all that stuff, but I'm going to take your word for it because this doesn't show if they would draw Atlanta, but I'm just banking on CBS first. But yes, there would be a metric ton of Ole Miss fans that would make the trip, I think, if they make the Sweet 16. Although, is that a home baseball weekend? That might keep some people behind. But, yeah, I would make that trip. And, I mean, unfortunately, I can't go to as many games because – you know, Super Talk, we're here based in Jackson, and having a 5-year-old keeps me home more often than from a professional perspective I would like to. But that is a trip that if they're in the Sweet 16, I would make that and cover that in person for you guys, because I think that's just a different animal if that's the case. So Ole Miss plays in Milwaukee. In the first round, they play in Milwaukee. And that's a brand new arena, right? They'll play, what's it called? Fiserv Forum is what it's called. Didn't it just open? Yeah, 2018 is when it opened. So you'll get a really nice-looking brand new arena. And, you know, what's funny is they opened that arena in 2018, and they've already got plans to build a new one. Like renderings are out there for them to build a new one, but it'll sure as hell beat the Smoothie King Center. I'll tell you that much. That place is a dump. Who is your season MVP for Ole Miss basketball? That is a great question. Season MVP. I mean, I guess the answer is Padula, right? Leading scorer, hit some big time shots late. I have a feeling if you asked Chris Beard, like who the most valuable player on the team would be, it would be Brakefield, even though he comes off the bench. That's probably the right answer. But, I mean, again, Padula leading them in scoring, multiple game winners. He has two game winners in this March, by the way, two this March. For this tournament, though, I think like the most quote unquote important player for this team would be Dre Davis. I think they are, if you get 80 good minutes out of Dre Davis in these first two games, you're going to the Sweet 16. He's just, especially if you draw North Carolina, I think that they will have a really hard time defending him. And he can switch 1 through 5, really, against their lineup. And then the obvious, of course, is Malik Dia, and if he can stay on the floor and be active and be a physical presence. But If you told me that Dre Davis gave them, you know, 15 and 17 points, they're going to the Sweet 16. Ole Miss was ahead of eventual national champs Michigan State in the second half, but lost. That's their highest moment. Yeah, I mean, there's not many, right? There's one Sweet 16. The only, I mean, okay, I guess there's two. So I moved here to Mississippi in the fall of 2010. So I know that there's been, you know, some success in the program's history before that. But I've lived here 15 years, and they've made the tournament only three times before this year. One of them, they got absolutely smoked in the first round. The other one, they played in the play-in game. It was a great game, by the way. Steph Moody, comeback, unbelievable over BYU. And the other was back in 2013, they won the SEC tournament and then beat Wisconsin and then ultimately lost to LaSalle. But that was the only true run that Ole Miss has gone on since I've lived here, was back then in 2013. It was the only quote-unquote run because they won the SEC tournament, and that was incredible. And they kind of had to, right? I guess make it to Sunday was the sentiment, but they beat Florida, and that tournament was awesome. Marshall Henderson doing the Gator Chomp, all that stuff, and then they beat Wisconsin. But that's it, really. You know, that's all that I've really got to lean on. So that's the highest moment since I've lived here, and that was 12 years ago. So maybe this team can put some of that together as well. And that's what made the Tennessee game so great, in my opinion, was not just, you know, they beat number four. It was they beat number four on their way to being a complete lock in the NCAA tournament. I use the word validation. What was what I came out to was validation for the program. Because in basketball, upsets happen. Bad teams beat good teams in basketball all the time. But Ole Miss was a good team from the very beginning of the season until that point, right? They had that win in Tuscaloosa. They beat Kentucky. But for something about having their season start like it did, you know, beat BYU, beat Louisville at Louisville the way they did, start conference play strong with that win over Alabama, beat Kentucky the way they did. And there were some downs in there. Don't get me wrong. The Memphis game was a down. They had three straight losses, including Mississippi State at home. That was a down. But from day one this season to last day this season, they were a good basketball team. And there were high moments all throughout that. And so beating Tennessee in March, to me, was a validation of this program is on a trajectory that can be replicated for as long as Chris Beard is there. And I think that there are other coaches with the current resources that you're putting in that could also win at Ole Miss. But still, from game one to their elimination by Auburn in the SEC tournament, this was a good basketball team that you never worried, really, maybe after Memphis, but you never really worried that this team was good enough to make the tournament, that they had the ability to get there, that, hey, they had the resume or the wins. It was really impressive, just in validating that this is what Ole Miss basketball can be. In a year in which the SEC was toughest, they were comfortably in throughout. So now it's up to them to go make it count, right? You've got everybody's attention. You've got your fan base's attention. You've got the casuals who don't really care about basketball. Everybody's going to be watching you now. Can you make it count? Can you beat North Carolina in the NCAA tournament? And just get everybody to jump on board and realize how much fun this is and how this can be something that you do with a lot more regularity. I suspect that they will be able to do that. It does not appear that Indiana and Chris Beard are going to happen. So keep investing, keep building, keep appealing to the casual fans and letting them know that, hey, this thing is fun and it works and it can work at Ole Miss. I know history tells you that it can't, but history doesn't matter anymore, and here's why. Validation. So, do I think Morrell has a future in the NBA, or is he a career G leaguer overseas? I do not think that he is an NBA player. He can get healthy and maybe find his way on a G League and work hard and get a two-way contract or something maybe. But no, I don't think he's like an NBA player. I really don't. But I do think that he can spend a long time playing basketball and making a lot of money doing it. So who punched you in your face? Nobody. I have had a tough battle lately with just some breakout on my face. It's I think I have been told that it's stress related and that I'm doing all the right things to get rid of it, and it is going away. It's just it just took a long time, and it was really bad. And I tried everything, and I'm a little bit more zen these days, I guess, and things have started getting better, and so my face is starting to get better. Imagine that. But no, that's what it is. It's not bruises. It's I'm a now 33-year-old that has breakouts like I'm in high school. So welcome to my life. Welcome to my life. So, all right, we'll get the times. I guess we will get the times as I understand it tomorrow. So we'll know exactly when Ole Miss is playing. The plan right now, the problem is, you know, the radio show, right? That will be going on with like if the game's at 3 o'clock, I'll be live on the radio. So I'll try to figure out what the plan will be around the game when the time gets released. I would love to watch it live with you guys. That's what I would love to do. I just don't know how possible it's going to be. With little guy going to school and stuff like that. I'll let you guys know what the plan is there, and we'll figure it out later. But we will definitely be live on Tuesday. We will absolutely be live on Tuesday to look at North Carolina, San Diego State, and things like that. So let's see. They haven't announced that game time yet. I hope that's the early one, because I want to – we'll go live after that game. So that's Tuesday. We'll go live after that game. So that'll definitely be the next one. So it's an exciting time for Ole Miss basketball for men and women. Yeah, so I guess we'll get the women's bracket here in just a few minutes. I have not seen, I guess everybody expects them to host, which will just be incredible if they're able to do that. Postseason basketball in the pavilion. And like, the only way that the men can host postseason basketball is if they go to the NIT. So you don't want the men to host, right? That's what's funny about this is you don't want the men to host. But being a first time for the women in the pavilion is a really cool thing. I think that you guys are going to support it and give them great crowds. And Coach Yo's done a good job with that program, and that's really exciting in history. Has been made. First time that this has ever happened with the two of them. And if that's the case, then it's most definitely going to be the first time that for our radio show that Hey Dad and I will get to talk about four teams in the NCAA tournament at the same time. So it's actually, it's really cool for us from a content perspective as well. I do want to tell you that the podcast is also brought to you by Toyota of Brookhaven, exit 40 in Brookhaven. But if you don't live in the area, check out their online inventory at toyotaofbrookhaven.com, because the car buying experience is tough and you don't want to just go down the street to whatever dealerships, you know, in your town and just buy a car because you think that they're all the same. They're not all the same. And Toyota of Brookhaven will prove it to you. Give them a shot. Again, exit 40 in Brookhaven or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. Use code Rebel Report. Tell them that I sent you. You'll get $1,000 off, $1,000 off on me at Toyota Brookhaven. If just tell them I sent you, or if you're shopping online, use code Rebel Report. They have a service department open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. And if you want a new Tundra, great looking truck, by the way, Interest rates as low as 1.99% for 48 months on all in-stock Tundras. Toyota of Brookhaven, great service, great savings, and they, I promise you, they will deliver. Say North Carolina seems like a much better matchup, at least size-wise. Definitely size-wise. There's no doubt about that. And here's the thing. There's a reason that both of these teams are 11 seeds. I like I said before, North Carolina's won 8 of 10, right? They're playing better basketball lately, and I think it's a product of their conference being absolute garbage. But they did play Duke tough in each of the last two times that they had a chance to play them. But there's a reason they're 11 seeds. There's a reason they're in the position that they're in, that they're going to have to go to Dayton to have a play-in game before they face Ole Miss. And there's a reason that Ole Miss is sitting there as a 6 seed, playing through the most difficult conference in college basketball and coming out of it with a 10-8 regular season record. I guess 11-9 overall, if you count the SEC tournament. There is nothing that either one of them will do that will surprise or overwhelm Ole Miss, I think. San Diego State does have the length, though, that could be a bother. But again, so does Alabama and Tennessee, you know, so did Auburn. So Ole Miss down by 3. Who takes the final shot? Steph Moody, Marshall Henderson, or Padula? That's a good question. That is a really good question. How many games? So Marshall had a 3 that sent Ole Miss to overtime. Gosh, that's a good question. It's not fair to Padula because you got multiple years of the other two. You know, you had more of a chance to fall in love with them. Marshall was so good on that SEC tournament run. The best overall scorer of the three was Steph Moody, right? He was the most skilled an explosive player of the three. But how can you ignore the fact that Padula's had 2 chances at game winners this March and has hit them both? Got to get better play out of him, though. You can't have 0 for 6 against any of these teams in the tournament from him if they're going to win these games. Can't have it. So, really looking forward to it, guys. Drop any more comments if you got them, and then we'll get out of here. But this is really exciting. Really looking forward to talking about it with you guys throughout the week. The plan, again, like I said, we will be live after North Carolina and San Diego State finish their game on Tuesday. That's what we'll do. We'll be live after their game on Tuesday, whenever it starts. That we'll just wait and see what the two of them look like, and then we'll react to that together. And Haydad and I will be at the Trustmark Park. We'll do our show there from 3 to 6 on Tuesday, ahead of Ole Miss and Southern Miss baseball at Trustmark Park. So if y'all are going to go to the game, come say hello. We'd love to meet you and see you. So y'all be good. Appreciate you. Enjoy the women's selection show, which is starting, I guess, literally right now. And we'll see you on Tuesday night. Y'all have a great rest of your Sunday. I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Ace Bolt & Screw is excited to announce the opening of Madison County's newest commercial industrial superstore. Ace Bolt & Screw features the brands that professionals expect to find: DeWalt, Milwaukee, Gear Wrench, Klein, Diablo, and many more, located right across from Germantown High School in Gluckstadt.